And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The desire of all nations. That's a lovely term that is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a title of the Messiah. He is the desire of all nations. It was Charles Wesley who wrote that great Christmas carol that we sung a few moments ago, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Now, there's a verse written by Wesley, and this is what he said. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Those words were written by the great hymn writer of Methodism. Now, I know that verse wasn't in the hymn that we just sung. There was only three verses. But in our supplement, that fourth verse is included. Now, don't worry, we'll soon be singing from this supplement. But that was Charles Wesley's wonderful hymn. And you see, Charles Wesley realized that that lovely title, The Desire of Nations, or The Desire of All Nations, he realized that that title is a reference to the Messiah. That title is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a reference to his first coming, and it's also a reference to his second coming. But of course, at this time of year, and particularly on Advent Sunday, we like to begin to focus on the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever we see this title, The Desire of All Nations, our thoughts should immediately turn to that stable in Bethlehem. Because into that stable over 2,000 years ago came the desire of all nations. What a beautiful name it is. Now, if you go to the modern versions of Scripture, you won't find that title. If you go to the NIV, or if you go to the ESV, or the NASB, or whatever other versions you go to, you won't find the desire of all nations. The modern versions put it another way. Some of them talk about desirable things. Some of them talk about the treasures of all nations. But only the Authorized Version uses this great title, The Desire of All Nations. It is unique to the King James Version. And you see, this is just one of the reasons why I am a King James bigot. And I make no apology for it. This is one of the reasons why I am totally convinced that the Church of Jesus Christ needs to get back to the Authorized Version. You see, the other versions render this verse in a different way. And by rendering this verse with different words, by using different phraseology, they actually take away from Christ. And the modern versions render this verse in a different way, so that the verse doesn't mean a person, but it means a thing. So immediately, it's stolen away from Christ. And of course, those who translated the modern versions would say, oh, this text of Scripture, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, doesn't refer to the Messiah. No, that's the wrong translation. The King James got it wrong. Well, actually, the King James got it right. This is the accurate rendering of the verse. And the proper rendering of Haggai chapter 2 verse 7 is the desire of all nations. It's speaking about a person. And that person is none other than the Messiah himself. It's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the desire of all nations. You know, there's so much that we could say about these five words. We could talk about the desire. And that's a lovely word, desire, isn't it? And of course, you people tonight, you dear friends who know Christ, in your heart there's a desire for him, isn't there? There is that hunger for him. Sometimes hard just to put it into words, isn't it? But there's that longing for the Savior. I suppose it comes down to the fact that we realize that we are guilty sinners, and that he is the spotless one and the sinless Lamb of God, and he is the antidote. He's the remedy for our situation. He is the great cure for our sickness, our spiritual sickness. And we see in him, we see in Christ all that our souls could ever need. And because of that, there is that desire for him. In our hearts tonight, there is the desire for the Savior, that longing for him, that hungering after him. He is the desire of all nations. Oh, there's so much that we could say about this phrase. But tonight, rather than speaking on the word desire, I want us to speak more and to think more about those final two words, the words all nations. The Lord Jesus is the desire of all nations. In other words, people from every part of the globe long for him. People from every part of the world have a hunger for him. And you see, particularly whenever you consider the period whenever he was on the earth, that 3.5 years of his public ministry, and even the 30 years prior to that, you find that people from many different nationalities, people from different countries, desired him. And he was indeed the desire of all nations. So that's what I want to speak about tonight. And I want simply to bring before you tonight people, individuals in the scripture who desired the Lord Jesus Christ. They longed for him. Now, there are five different groups of people or five individuals that I want you to think about tonight. Consider with me, first of all, the wise men. The wise men. And we read of them in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 2 verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men to Jerusalem. Did I read it properly? Did I miss anything out? I did. I missed something important out. Behold, there came wise men from the east. Wise men from the east. Now, it doesn't give us the exact location where the wise men came from. It doesn't tell us the country that they were from, but it just says that they were from the east. These men had traveled quite a considerable distance to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They had traveled from the east. I don't know whether they traveled from China, from Russia, from Japan. I don't know where they traveled from, but they traveled a considerable distance to be with Christ. They traveled from the east in order to worship him. Of course, the lesson is that no distance should be too much for us to come and worship the Savior. Here we have these men who were prepared to endure any suffering. They were prepared to endure any kind of hardship along the way, if only at the end of it they could come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Here were these men from the east, and no distance was too great for them to come and to worship him. The wise men came all those miles from the east, perhaps hundreds of miles. I don't know, maybe even thousands of miles. We don't know. Scholars would say that the Lord Jesus was actually 2 years old whenever the wise men arrived at his home. So if they set out when the star appeared, and they followed and they traveled for 2 years, they obviously traveled quite a distance. But you see, whenever we think of the wise men and whenever we think of the distance that they traveled, isn't it so sad that people wouldn't walk across the street to worship the Lord? Isn't that the tragedy? Isn't it so sad that people wouldn't even come a stone's throw to worship the King of the Jews, to worship the Babe of Bethlehem? And of course, I know that on a night like this, of course, people aren't able to make it to the house of God. Of course, we always and we continually warn people to be wise and to be careful. And of course, those who live in country areas are better not to be traveling on a night like this. And we understand those who choose not to travel on a night like this. Now, if you're here tonight from a country area, you have my commendation. We're delighted that you're here. And let me just say that it is a credit to you that you've made the effort to come tonight. But isn't it a tragedy that there are people in our land who whenever Sunday comes, whenever the Lord's Day comes, they pull back the curtains. Oh, I don't think I'll go tonight. I don't think I'll go to church tonight. It's a wee shower. It's raining. Don't think I'll go tonight. It's a wee bit cold outside. Don't think I'll bother going tonight. Isn't that the attitude of so many people? Oh, here we have the wise men from the east. And surely the wise men from the east are a rebuke to people in Ulster today who wouldn't even travel to the far end of the village to come to the house of God. They wouldn't even travel 100 yards to come to the house of God. The wise men from the east, they are proof that the Lord Jesus is indeed the desire of all nations. Here you have these men from eastern nations, and they're coming to worship him. These wise men desire Christ. They have a hunger for him. They have a longing for him, because he is the desire of all nations. So that's the wise men from the east. But then there are other people who desired the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the shepherds that night. The shepherds, we read of them, of course, in Luke 2, verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. You see, there you have those shepherds, and they're out on the hills around Bethlehem, and all is quiet, and it just seems like an average night
out in the fields,
out on the hills, looking after the sheep. There seems to be nothing different. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appears to them. And then the great choir of angels begin to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace, goodwill toward men." And what's the response of the shepherds? Immediately, they go to Bethlehem. Immediately, they leave their sheep and they go in search of the newborn king. I wonder why they left the sheep. I wonder why they set off in search of the babe who had just been born. Why did they set off? I believe they set off because they had a desire in their hearts. Not for Mary, not for Joseph, not for any of the other trappings of the Nativity, but they had a desire for the babe in the manger. They had a desire for the one who was the Savior. Remember that the angels had just told them, the angel of the Lord had just told them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And I can just picture the scene. Whenever the shepherds heard that word Savior, their hearts must have danced for joy. How could he come for us, despised shepherds? People have no time for us. We're outcasts. We're the lowlifes of society, and no one has any time for us. We're guilty. We're condemned. We're evil. We're wicked. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But what is this? A Savior? And he's come for us. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And immediately in their hearts, there was a desire to go and to find him. Why was it that the shepherds went to find him? It was because he is the desire of all nations. So there you have, first of all, the wise men who were from the east. But here you have the shepherds, and they're from Israel. They're from the promised land. They're from the land of Canaan. So you have those from the east who have a desire for Christ. Then you have the shepherds, the Jews, who have a desire for Christ. Can you see now why the scriptures call him the desire of all nations? Then what about people from other nations? Think about the Greeks that we read of in John 12, whenever the Lord Jesus grew up and when he entered into his public ministry, we read of the Greeks who came desiring him. John 12 and 20. "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and," listen to it, "desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Now, what does it mean when it says that those Greeks desired him? Well, I believe that it does mean that they desired Philip, in the sense that they wanted Philip to go and to tell Christ that they had come to see him. But I believe when it says that they desired him, I believe that more importantly than Philip, I believe that it's saying that they desired the Lord Jesus Christ. They desired him. They longed for him. They had a hunger to meet with the Messiah. And here you have these Greeks. They've come all the way from the land of Greece, in all probability. I know that sometimes the scriptures, whenever the scriptures uses the term Greeks, sometimes it can mean just Gentiles, people who are not Jews. But I believe in this situation, in this verse, it is referring literally to people who were from the country of Greece and they've traveled to be with the Lord Jesus. They have a desire in their hearts for him. Philip was there, Andrew was there. The other disciples, no doubt, were there, but the Greeks couldn't care less of the other disciples. They weren't bothered with them. They had no interest. They hadn't the least interest in the other disciples. Their only interest was in Christ. Isn't it such a tragedy that today there are so many people who get in the way of Christ? And so many people in our world, religious people, who set themselves up in the place of Christ. And they keep souls away from him. But thank God these Greeks, they came and they cried out to Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus." So first of all, the wise men from the east, why did they come? They came to see Christ because he is the desire of all nations. Why did the shepherds come from the hills around Bethlehem? Why did those Jewish outcasts come to his manger bed? They came because he is the desire of all nations. Why did the Greeks come from the land of Greece? They came because he is the desire of all nations. You see, all these people that we've talked about, they all had a desire for him. Just two more people that I want you to focus on tonight before we finish. The Ethiopian eunuch, Acts chapter 8. Verse 31 tells us, "And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter." So first of all, you have people from the east who have a desire for Christ. Then you've got the shepherds, people from the land of Israel who have a desire for Christ. And then you have the Greeks who have a desire for Christ. And now here you have this man from Africa who has a desire for Christ. The Ethiopian eunuch. This man from the country of Ethiopia. People from all corners of the world had a desire for him. People from all parts of the then known world longed for Christ. They longed for the Messiah. And let's dwell a moment or two on the Ethiopian eunuch. Because it tells us there in that verse that we read that he was reading the scriptures. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter. Whenever you see a person begin to read their Bible, you'll know that they have a desire for Christ. The Holy Spirit is at work. And the Holy Spirit is creating within the heart and soul of that perishing sinner a desire to find the way of salvation, and particularly a desire to find the person who is salvation. It's a sure sign that the Spirit is at work if you see a person with their Bible. And this man had his Bible. He was reading from the book of Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit is so wise, isn't he? Because he draws the man to Isaiah 53. To the chapter that speaks of the suffering Savior. He points the man to Calvary. And whenever you get to the cross, your heart overflows with desire for him. Isn't that right? My, whenever you stand beneath the cross of Jesus with the eye of faith and you realize that Calvary covers it all, Calvary covers it all. My guilt and despair Jesus took on him there, and Calvary covers it all. My, when you realize that, you'll have a desire for him. And this dear man from Africa desired to know more about Christ. It's interesting that this word, the same word, the word desire, is used here. It was used of the Greeks in John 12. It's used again of the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, he desired. And he desired, yes, he desired that Philip would come up into the chariot to explain the scriptures to him, to teach the scriptures to him. But more than that, he desired to find Christ in the scriptures. He wanted to find the Savior. If I can put it like this, he had a desire for the desire of all nations. And then there's one other person tonight that I want us to think about. She's found in Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And like the other people that we have thought about tonight, this lady is evidence that the Lord Jesus is indeed the desire of all nations. Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. Now, to get into Tyre and Sidon, he had to leave the land of Israel, and he had to cross the border into Tyre and Sidon. So here we have yet another person from another country desiring Christ. Verse 22, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And then verse 29 tells us, and Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. So he has gone into Tyre and Sidon, and now he has come back again. Why did he go into Tyre and Sidon? Well, he went into Tyre and Sidon because he knew that there was a woman who desired him. A woman who desired the desire of all nations. Can you see tonight, friends, why Haggai was inspired to refer to the Messiah as the desire of all nations? It's because, you see, people from all nations, when he was here on the earth, people from all nations longed for him, hungered after him, desired him. And isn't it a lovely thought today to think that there are people from all nations today, right across the globe, who desire him. People who are willing to give up their lives for him. People in Southeast Asia, where Eric McGowan is ministering as we sit here in this service tonight. People who are willing to suffer everything and anything for the desire of all nations. And I pray that those people will be an inspiration to us in our own land.